Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Leaders Toolbox on radio at firehouse.com. My name is Peter Matthews, and I'm here today with host Richard Gassaway. Good afternoon, Rich. The summer's coming. Conferences are pretty much every week from now until fall. And I know you'll be speaking at our conference, the Firehouse Expo, coming up in Baltimore in July. Can you tell us about what you're going to be doing there? And I know you'll also be speaking at Fire Rescue International, so can you tell us about that program as well?
Yep. Thanks, Pete, and welcome to the listeners. At Firehouse Expo, I'm going to be engaged in three things. I'm going to be giving a presentation on fire ground command decision-making under stress, and then I'm going to be hosting two live recordings of podcast shows, one on firehouse management, which, Pete, you'll have to refresh me on who the panel is. It's
We'll have John Salka from New York, and Mark Emery will join us from Woodinville, Washington. He's the author of the Ten Commandments series on leadership. There'll be two of the guests that we have that day.
Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, be doing a live podcast show with a group of volunteer fire chiefs where we're going to be addressing some leadership challenges in the volunteer fire service. And I'm guessing, Pete, that those shows can be attended live by participants at the Firehouse Expo, and then you'll also have those available on firehouse.com for listeners.
That's correct. Yep, we'll be in room 343 for both of the events. The Firehouse Management Podcast will be on Thursday at 12 noon, room 343, and the Volunteer Chiefs Panel podcast will be at 10:15 on Saturday, the 26th of July, again, room 343. If you do have any questions to pose during those two podcasts, drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com, and also use that address, podcast@firehouse.com, if you have any questions for the Leaders Toolbox.
Okay, and then in August, I'll be at Fire Rescue International in Denver, and I'm going to be giving a program there on the fire ground command decision-making under stress as well. I'm not sure what day that will be. People can check the International Association of Fire Chiefs website, www.iafc.org, click on conferences, and take them to the link for Fire Rescue International.
Okay, great. Well, we'll see you in both Baltimore and Denver this summer. We have a bunch of questions. We'll break into the first one here, and it's from a volunteer fire chief. So I'm the chief of a volunteer fire department in a community of 35,000 people, and each summer we seem to run short on volunteers because of the various activities that occur within the community and their request to do standbys at. One weekend in July, we'll have an ambulance crew covering a fishing derby for 12 hours, an engine company covering a community arts festival for 10 hours, and the third event on that day will be a car show. So they'll be looking for a third crew on that. And it says, with all the activities in our rather quiet community, we tend to run a half dozen personal injury accidents and the gamut of daily responses. The local organizations that run the events, the fishing event, has been a great contributor to the fire department annually, so that's never been a problem. Any advice on how to approach the organizers of the arts festival and the car show with the idea that we're on low staffing for the events?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the problem that this person is facing as chief of a volunteer department is not at all uncommon. We face it, I face it. In the summertime, you know, firefighters want to get out and do things with their families, and there's you know, plenty of opportunities for their kids to be playing summer sports and family reunions and all kinds of things that draw on their time. So I don't think that he or she is dealing with a unique problem within their department. But what makes their problem unique is they're just getting same weekend. And in that respect, it's probably a little bit unusual in that, you know, communities try to, I think, typically space those things out so that, you know, that they're not competing for the same attendees. But that's not the case in this particular event, and he's got a challenge to reckon with, no doubt about that. The first thing that I would advice that I would give this chief is look at the amount of staffing that he or she is committing to each event, and evaluate whether they have the right amount of staffing to be able to do the standby for the event. In other words, if you have an event that is a standby for public relation purposes, do you need a crew of 6 or 8 to be able to do that, or do you just need a couple of people in uniform with a piece of fire apparatus so that you have a fire department presence on the scene so that the community can come by and look at the fire truck and you can, you know, pass out information on the fire department or plastic hats or stickers for the kids, that, you know, that kind of thing. And by the way, for this chief, that's a perfect time to be recruiting new firefighters at these events so that, you know, maybe as in subsequent years he'd bolster up the ranks of some people who might be interested in helping with those events going forward. But I'd first take a look at how many people they have working the events and see if there's a way to reduce the crew sizes so that they're not overkilling the number of people that attend the event. Second, I would look at the number of hours that the crews work. You know, some of these events that he talked about are screamingly long events, 10-hour events, 12-hour events. That's a long, long time on a summer's weekend to ask someone to take away from their family. So I would encourage this chief to think about putting out blocks of time where people can sign up. You know, you might be more likely to get someone to say, I'll commit for 2 hours or I'll commit for 3 hours, but to commit for 6 hours or 8 or 10 or 12 hours is a huge commitment. And maybe take the people that would work these events and schedule them out in blocks of time so that they're, you know, each person is just taking a small bite of these events, because these are some, you know, seriously long events. Next, I'd look at a little bit unsure, except with the fishing derby, which says there's an ambulance crew covering, and see if the fire department needs to be at these events for the whole time, or could they schedule the fire department to be there, you know, and have it advertised. The fire department will be here from noon to 4 or from 10 to 12 or maybe 10 to 12 and then back again from 6 to 8 p.m. So that the fire department, especially if it's, you know, for PR purposes, that they're not having to be there for the entire time, but actually schedule and advertise a block of time when the fire department's going to be there so that they reduce the total time that they have to commit to covering that event. And I say they do an ambulance standby at a fishing derby, and I'm from Minnesota, and I do some fishing, and on occasion have ran a fish hook into my finger, but I don't know that fishing derbies typically are high volume incidents for ambulance service. Now, they may be able to set up a first aid table or area instead of actually committing to having a full ambulance crew there, and set up a first aid area and have it staffed by one person, or have it staffed jointly with another agency that might be able to help provide first aid. A doctor's office might have some nurses, or if they have a hospital in their town, they might be able to get some volunteer nurses that would come in, help them. I'm not saying take over, just assist them with the staffing for a first aid area, or Red Cross, you know, might have some first aid people that they could help staff a first aid booth. But, you know, I guess I'd say evaluate whether you need to have a fully staffed ambulance at the event for 12 hours, and see if there's a way to, you know, pare that obligation down. With a word of caution there, because it sounds like the people who put on the fishing derby are awfully supportive of the fire department. So, you know, when they do this, I think they want to have some discussions with the organizers of the fishing derby to say, look, this is the problem that we're having. This is what we're thinking about doing. What's your input? What do you think about this? Because if they're a big supporter of the fire department, the last thing the fire department wants to do is send a message to them that the fire department has some issue with the fishing derby. The issue isn't with the fishing derby. The issue is with having staffing for the derby. And I think they need to meet with those organizers and provide that information to them and work collaboratively with them on a solution. Another thing I think this department could do is reach out to a neighboring department and see if a neighboring department would like to collaborate and jointly staff this event because there's so many of them. There's three of them, and they're long hours. See if a neighboring department might be willing to help out, and then in turn offer some help back to that neighboring department during a time when maybe they're having a community festival. And try to do some things that are collaborative with the neighbors. That serves a couple of purposes. One, helps you get the staffing, and two, it helps to build relationships among the firefighters of those communities. Because when you're working an event and you're going to be there for 2 or 3 hours with somebody from another department, you're going to get to talking to them and get a chance to know them a little bit better. And it's just a good a relationship building opportunity if someone is. Another department is willing to help out. I think that there's an opportunity here also for this chief to meet with the organizers of the arts festival and the car show. And I mentioned those two because he doesn't mention that they're financially supportive of the department. But to meet with those two organizers, the arts show and the arts festival and the car show, and talk with them openly and honestly about the fire department's staffing problem. There's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about for having low staffing for community events when firefighters want to be out enjoying time with their family and doing things with the people that they care about while the weather is good. And I think they should talk with the organizers and say, look, this is our problem, and ask those organizers for a solution. Ask the people from the arts festival and the people from the car show, do you have any ideas as to how we could work through this? And see what they have to offer. Instead of trying to completely own this problem and trying to completely come up with a solution on their own, I think the fire department would be wise to lay the problem out to the organizers. And I'll bet if they've had this problem for a couple of years, when they go and talk to these organizers about the problem, they're going to say, well, we didn't even know you had a problem, because you guys always show up and you always do such a great job, and there's always so many of you that we didn't even realize that you had a problem to begin with. So, it's a matter of getting them on board and educated as to what the problem is, and see if those organizers can help them come up with a solution. And you don't know where that's going to go until you talk to them. And don't be defensive about it. Be just open and honest and say, we really want to participate. And that's where the organizers might say, well, how about if we have you do, less hours, and we'll schedule you in, like I, talked about previously. And some of this has to do on an assumption that these events are being staffed, the arts festival and the car show are being staffed for PR purposes rather than emergency services standby. Again, probably aren't too many people getting hurt at an arts festival. I'm just going on a limb and not trying to be offensive to any of our listeners who might be enjoying of arts festivals. But I don't see it as the kind of thing that's going to generate a lot of injuries and accidents and I guess maybe illnesses if it's outdoors and it's hot. But and the same with the car show. So I'm thinking that these standbys are more for PR reasons than actually for emergency services standby. And if that's the case, pare down the number of people that they send and pare down the hours that they or that they're covering these events. But again, communicate this well in advance so that the organizers shouldn't be surprised if the fire department is going to give them less service than what they've given them in previous years. That should be communicated well in advance and with their input as to how that will impact their event. I'm assuming that the firefighters want to work the fishing event because of the contributions that they receive in return. And you know, if the fishing event has been as financially supportive as the fire department, as this chief indicates, then the firefighters are probably eager to work that event because they know giving something gets something for the benefit of the department. Maybe not them individually, but the department gets money to buy a new piece of equipment, so the firefighters benefit indirectly. I don't see a problem with the chief sharing that information with the organizers of the other events. Say they're talking with the people from the arts festival, and the people from the arts festival say, "Well, you send 10 firefighters over to the fishing event." Say, "Yeah, we don't have problem covering that event because the organizers of the fishing event then provide some financial support to the fire department annually in the way of a donation that helps us buy equipment." And you don't know without educating and asking that the car show or the arts event might say, "Well, you know, we are willing to do that too. We just hadn't thought about it." I'm guessing that the arts event and the car show are raising money for something, and if without asking, maybe some of that money could be come to the fire department in the way of support. Now, that doesn't necessarily help with the staffing issues, unless the firefighters then see some benefit that makes them want to, work those events more. But in the summertime, still it's going to be a tough sell with firefighters working those many hours with three events all lumped up on the same day. The last piece of advice I'd give on this one is considering having organizing a fire corps, which is part of Citizens Corps, and getting some citizen volunteers to help out with the fire department at events, not just this event, but events throughout the year. And fire corps people can be trained in first aid. They can help staff a first aid booth. You can put them in fire department uniforms. For the PR purposes and the sake of the attendees at this event, somebody in a fire department uniform who's part of fire corps looks the same as a firefighter as anyone else, and they're there and they're making a presence and are able to pass out recruitment information and plastic helmets and stickers to kids, but it relieves the firefighters from having to have that obligation of so many of them committing so much time. So in closing I'd say consider a citizens group, whether fire corps or some other group, to partner with to help them with their staffing. So best wishes to that chief and the success to their events.
All right, Chief. Well, thank you very much. That was some great advice. The fire corps thing is another great asset to the fire service, and we'll put the link to fire corps at the end of the podcast player page. Going back to when you mentioned, you can put in a subtle plug for maybe increasing your volunteer staffing or the roles of the department. What's a good way to go about that? Hey, are you interested in being here next year with a uniform on, or do you have some advice for the folks who may be manning those booths and trying to spread the word that the department's looking for additional volunteers and help?
Yeah, I think there's a couple good ways to do that. One, I think, is to make a poster up with maybe some pictures of your firefighters. That say something like, by day, accountant, but at nighttime, a firefighter. And, by day, a police officer, at night, a firefighter. Something that allows people to be able to relate to, hey, well, maybe I can be, have my day job as a school bus driver, and night and weekend, I can be a firefighter. So have something to draw their attention over. Certainly a handout, although when you give a handout at a community event like that, don't fill it full of words, don't use a 10 font and cover both the front and back pages, because people aren't going to spend that much time reading something like that at a community event. So I'd say, have lots of white space on your paper, put a couple of pictures, use a bigger font, a 14 font or something, and just some basic information that the fire department's looking for members, and if they have a website, list the website as to where they could go to get information additional information or a phone number, have some business cards to hand out, have some turnout gear for them to try on. I like that one because you dress a parent, you get a parent there with their kids, and their kids are climbing on the fire truck, and while they're climbing on the fire truck, you put the parent in turnout gear, and the kids climb off the fire truck and say, "Oh, Mommy, Daddy, you look like a firefighter," and you know, turn to the parents and say, "Yeah, you look like a hero. How would you like to do that all the time? You know, look that way to your kids all the time." And I would definitely have something to give to them, phone number, website, poster to attract their attention. And then I also would encourage this department, if they're going to do this at these events, to have the equivalent of a script, but I don't mean something that they stand in front of a group of people and actually read, but the equivalent of a script so that the message that they're sending to prospective members is a consistent message. We're looking for members who can do this or who can do that. And a script makes sure that when you send people out, they're carrying the same message consistently about what it takes to be a firefighter. And also maybe on that poster list, what are the positive things about being on the fire department? You know, you get to do, you know, you get to have training and camaraderie and team building and you know, get the positive message out there about what it takes to be on the fire department. And then, you know, the fire department too, at a community event like this, and they can use their own judgment with this, is have a little fun with it. You know, have a couple of super soakers there if it's a hot summer day, and you know, and squirt some water around, and you know, have some fun with the kids, have some water balloons, or you know, something that allows somebody who's coming by to say, "Gosh, you know, these people like they're having an awful lot of fun, you know, being here on the fire department, you know," and that's enticing. You know, people who want to give of their time want to be able to feel rewarded and enjoy themselves and have fun. And I think if you can create that kind of an environment at these events, you're going to attract the interest of people. You don't necessarily attract new members, but you're going to attract the interest of people. If you have people come by that are, you know, say older people, and you say, "Well, you know, I don't know if they'd really, you know, be able to do the job of a firefighter because, you know, they look retired or maybe not in the best of health," you can still talk to them about recruitment, whether you think they would be a good firefighter or not. They may know somebody else who is. Their son or daughter or their grandchild or their neighbor's kid, or you know. So don't pass up the opportunity to get the message out to everyone, even if, you know, the person, you know, says, "Well, no, I'm not interested in being a firefighter." Well, how about one of your neighbors? How about somebody you go to church with? How about somebody you work with? You know, and try to, you know, extract information from those people. Another thing you can do is have a notepad at your booth there. So when somebody comes by and say, "Are you interested?" "Well, you know, I might be, but I'm a little busy now here at this event with my kids and stuff. You know, we want to go fishing." "Okay, well, why don't you just write down your name and your phone number, or your name and your email address, and we'll follow up with you later on. You know, don't you know, waste your valuable time here. You come here with your kids to go fishing. Take your kids and go fishing, but if you leave us your name and your phone number, well, you know, we'll follow up with you and get you some information or invite you down to the firehouse." You know, so you're capturing something that you can follow up with that person later on. So those are a couple ideas that I think that are beneficial for recruitment. Well, another thing that comes to just screamed right off the page at me here, Pete, is look professional. You know, make sure the truck is clean. Make sure that your people are in whatever it is that you call a uniform, whether it's, you know, T-shirts or it's a button-down shirt. You know, whatever it is, I'm not saying that every department has to have, you know, Class A formal uniforms, but if it's a fire department T-shirt and blue jeans, then everybody's in a fire department T-shirt and blue jeans, and that they look consistent and professional and crisp and clean and well groomed, because that's, you know, it's the image of the department that is on the line, you know, and as those people walk by and you're trying to recruit them, they're assessing you. They're just saying to themselves, "Is this you know, a group of people that I want to be associated with. So you're when you're at these events, you're marketing yourself, whether you want to or not, or realize it or not, you are, and you're being evaluated. And unfortunately or fortunately, one or the other, people in our society tend to evaluate on face value. You know, they look at things. You know, I've had a number of people over the years look at our fire trucks and say, "Oh, your fire trucks are, you know, in such great shape." Well, it's 30 years old, and you know, it's got 150,000 miles on it. Oh, but it looks so great. Well, yeah, we do take care of it, but that doesn't mean that it's in great shape. You know, this truck is due for replacement. Oh, but it looks so good. Yeah, on the outside it looks good, and they make their judgments based on what they see on the surface, and they do it with people too. And that first impression is so important. So when you're going out and working these events, look the part. Look like the professional fire department that you're going to want to be to attract new members.
Okay, Rich, well, thank you very much. Again, great advice, and hopefully this helps departments to bolster their ranks a little bit while they're out at the different functions throughout the summer in their communities. So let's take a quick break here. This is the Leaders Toolbox with host Richard Gassaway, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Welcome back to the Leaders Toolbox on Radio at Firehouse.com with Fire Chief Richard Gassaway. If you do have any questions for this show, please drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com, and we'll take as many questions as we can in the next couple shows and get you a response. So any questions, please send them in, podcast@firehouse.com. Chief, the next question comes from another department that's having problems with their ranks. It says, my department is suffering from a lack of volunteers. This is not a problem that has come on all of a sudden. Rather, it is one that has developed over many years. The number of people willing to volunteer in our town keeps shrinking. I've discussed the issue with the city manager, but instead of helping me with solutions, he wants to kill the messenger and blame me, the fire chief, for the decline in the membership. I have read the journals and books on recruitment and retention, and we honestly have tried many things to prevent this decline. Some have had limited success, but overall, it is still declining. We do not really want to become a full-time fire department, but it looks like that is where we are heading. How can I educate my city manager that declining volunteers is a national issue and not just here in my hometown in Little Pennsylvania?
Well, I don't know if it'll serve as any benefit for this chief or other listeners, as if they would be able to get their city manager to listen to a podcast on firehouse.com. But I can tell you that from my travels and the things that I read on websites like firehouse.com and the articles that come out and the chapters in the books, it is a national problem in the fire service. Now, there will be articles out there that will say that volunteerism is increasing in America and people are, you know, feeling more like giving back to their communities, and that may be true. But statistically speaking, for the fire service, it is declining. And you know, there's a variety of reasons for that, but you know, most of it has to do with being able to find the time to be able to commit to what it takes to be a firefighter. You know, one of my favorite sayings that somebody had told me, geez, a number of years ago now, and I don't remember who it was, but they, you know, we were talking about an issue related to this, and they said, you know, it's not your grandpa's fire department anymore, where you could, you know, come down and play cards and you didn't have the call volume and the training requirements and OSHA and NFPA and all the obligations that we have now. It is a time-consuming commitment to serve as a part-time or volunteer firefighter if you're going to do it well and if you're going to take it seriously. And if your community is taking it seriously, they're going to have training requirements and mandates and things that you have to do to make sure that you're in compliance with regulations and safety requirements, because you can get hurt and killed on this job. It isn't like you're volunteering at the church or at the Little League or you know, being a member of Kiwanis or Rotary, when you're volunteering to be a firefighter, you're making some pretty serious commitments to do a job that can get you hurt or killed, or even lead to a long-term exposure that could lead to a serious medical condition years down the road for you that could ruin your quality of life or cost you your life. So this is a serious endeavor. And with that comes an obligation for time commitment that more and more fire departments are finding people in their community struggling to be able to commit. Even if you hire or put on some part-time or volunteer firefighters, it's not uncommon at all to see them stay for a short period of time and then leave because they say, you know what, I had no idea that that being on the fire department was going to require me to commit 10 or 15 or 20 hours a week. I just don't have that kind of time. Or something in their life changes significantly. They get a promotion at work that requires them to work more hours, or it requires them to work at a new location, and they're having to commute now. So their commute, which maybe was 10 minutes before, is now an hour in each direction. Maybe their spouse gets a job, and now they have to share the responsibility of taking care of the household and all those obligations and helping with getting the kids to their events or to school. There's just so many pulls and tugs and demands on family time that it's not surprising to see this issue in the fire service because of how time intensive being a firefighter is. And again, you know, you volunteer at the church, you can do it for an hour a week. And if you miss a week, you just pick it up the next week. There aren't minimum obligations and requirements, and you know, people aren't going to live or die or lose their house or a loved one based on whether you show up to do that kind of volunteer work. But in this business, that's exactly what the obligation is. You know, and when you don't show up, someone could suffer, and that's a big serious commitment to make, and people get into it without realizing how much time it's going to take. But it is a national challenge that many fire departments across America are facing. And, you know, he or she, the writer, didn't say anything about, what the population's doing in their community, whether it's growing or declining. So a little reserved to talk about what some of those challenges are. I know in my community is an aging community. I have about 60% of my residents are over 50 years old, you're not going to be out recruiting new firefighters among that group. They're willing to support in many other ways, but they're just not willing to make an entry into actually serving as a firefighter. Now, if this person wants to get some evidence, for their city manager, I would suggest that they go on some of the websites and look in some of the archives of the websites. And do some searching for challenges with volunteer recruitment, challenges with firefighter recruitment, challenges with obtaining volunteers. These are some of the keywords that could go into the search engine. Or use Google or another search engine like that, Yahoo, and search out articles. For example, here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area, there are articles running in the newspapers all the time about firefighter recruitment and retention challenges. If you go to the local library, they're able to look up those articles on databases. So, say this chief in Pennsylvania wants to convince a city manager that's a national issue. Well, how does he get newspaper articles from local newspapers in South Carolina or Georgia or Alabama? Pretty hard for him to do on his own, but libraries have databases of these articles that can be cross-referenced and searched, where he can pull information from other communities to be able to show the city manager that there's a problem. Now, when he gathers all this information up, he can't just take it in and pile 6 inches of material down on the city manager's desk and say, here it is, read it, and I'll be back in a week to talk with you. City manager isn't going to have that kind of time, and chances are they're not going to have the interest in wanting to go through that. But what the chief can do is write a summary of the articles, along with some quotes that will catch the city manager's attention. So say the article is entitled South Carolina Fire Department Struggling for Members, and then list a quote, a sentence or two about what the challenges are that are being faced in that particular fire department in South Carolina. And I think what this chief's going to find is there's a lot of common threads among the challenges faced in fire departments all over America. And many of the things he's been telling his city manager will now be able to substantiate with articles that are written from all places all over America. So it'd be a little difficult then for the city manager to kill the messenger or blame the chief when the chief is able to show, you know, this decline is not just in our community here in Pennsylvania, but it's a national challenge, and we're just among those who are experiencing it. Another thing that I think would benefit this chief, he said he has, he's read some of the material on recruitment and retention and tried many of the things that that those articles and books have recommended. I would suggest that he prepare a summary report for the city manager to say, here are the things that we have tried, and here's the results that we've gotten from the things that we've tried. So the city manager doesn't think that the fire department is simply sitting back and whining about the problem, but have actually been proactive in trying to create a solution to the problem and show the city manager, these are the things that we've done. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, I can't even begin to speculate what he's done so far to try to resolve it, but I would summarize it in a report to the manager so that he sees that some effort is being made, and be honest with the results that have come from it. I think I would also, if I were this chief, he says that this decline has been coming over time. I would show the trend data of the decline in volunteers in his department so the city manager can see how this is trending and that this isn't a problem that came about all of a sudden. And maybe he does that over a 10-year period, over a 20-year period. He may struggle to be able to find the data. Hopefully, he has access to some data some base of data that would be able to extract that to show, you know, in 1990 we had this many members, and in 91 and 92 and on and on and on, and show the decline in members. Show how many members they've put on, how many members have left. You know, what the turnover statistics have been. The more data that he can provide to the city manager, the better he can do at painting the picture for him as to what you know, what is actually happening. I think that this chief in Pennsylvania might be benefit from taking a look at the volunteer recruitment and retention and other public agencies or private agencies in their community. In other words, what are the, you know, this chief is having trouble with recruitment and retention in the fire department. What about what's happening in the churches? What's happening in Kiwanis? What's happening in other service organizations and the candy stripers at the hospital and so on? And get out and talk to these people and say, what are you experiencing in the way of attracting and keeping volunteers? Chances are good they're suffering from the same challenges that you are, and if they are, then that becomes good information to share with the city manager that says, you know, this isn't just the fire department. I went and I talked to Kiwanis, and I talked to the hospital who has volunteers, and I talked to the library who has volunteers, and the schools who have volunteers, and they're all struggling with challenges in getting volunteers. If they're not struggling, ask them what they're doing that works for them. Now, I realize that, like I said at the beginning of this, we're not talking about apples to apples, and you're talking about a volunteer in the hospital versus a volunteer firefighter. But if they are doing something in the way of marketing themselves to get the interest of volunteers, maybe they're doing something that you could benefit from or learn from that you could incorporate yourself. Another thing that I would do is convene a meeting of the organizations who use volunteers and talk to them about the challenges that you're having and ask them for solutions of things that have worked for them in the past. I would also bring together some heads of organizations in the community, what I would call the shakers and the movers of your community, the president of Kiwanis and Rotary and the school board, and bring them in and educate them on what the challenges are that you're having and ask them for some solutions to the problems. And you know, you don't know what's going to flow from it unless you ask, and you might be surprised with what they have to say. Another thing you do is survey people in the community and ask them why they don't or won't volunteer to be on the fire department. You know, what is their reason? And, you know, you might assume it's just that they don't have time, but they might say something like, no, I can't afford to pay for my own training. Well, maybe your department pays for the training, but they didn't know that. So now you have an opportunity to say, no, we'll pay for the training. Oh, well, I didn't know that. Well, now maybe I have an interest. So without knowing that, and you can find that out through a survey of the community, or so you don't have to survey the entire community. Just send, you know, get something sent out with the water, you know, water bills in a select area of town, or randomly, and ask people to complete a survey and send it back, or develop one online and just refer them to the website. You know, you can do free surveys. I can't think of the name of the website. There's Monkey something. It's a Google search, free online surveys, and you can develop a survey and put it online, and people can reply to it. And just ask them two or three or four questions. You don't have to, you know, give them a 20 or 30 minute survey. Just ask them a few questions to try to understand why it is that they're not volunteering, and then try to use that information to help create incentives that would get them to want to be able to volunteer, and you might have some success with that. The chief in this particular question said he doesn't want his department to become a full-time department. I think that's a common thing among volunteer departments. You know, there's a pride factor there that we've been volunteer for, you know, many, many years, and if we have to hire, you know, full-time people, then, you know, we're conceding that we've been beaten. You know, and our pride, you know, is such that we don't want to concede to that. Well, I think that you have to get beyond that and put the needs and of service to your community first, and set your pride on the shelf, and say, you know, if you can provide the service that the community deserves using completely volunteer people, wonderful. But at some point, if you can't do that anymore, then you have to look for alternatives, and those alternatives may include career people, although I think he's a ways from getting to hiring career people. But you can't let your service to the community decline to terrible levels because you don't want to invoke some other solutions that help deal with the problem. You know, the people in the community depend on us to provide a service, and we have that obligation to do it. And if we can't attract the right people to do it as volunteers, then we have to look for other ways to create incentives to do that. And some of that might be full-time people, but I think that he's a ways from doing that. In the long run, they may have to do that. But in the meantime, look at and consider implementing some incentive programs for volunteers. You know, it might be paid training. It might be uniforms. It might be a duty crew program where they can come in and work a specific shift on a specific day, and while they're there, they get their training, and then they can go home to their family for the rest of the week. Unless you have some major call, you're not going to call them back because you've got a duty crew on duty in the station. And I know places that run duty crews that the duty crews aren't even paid, but a person comes in and they volunteer their time during a set hours of a set day, and they can plan for it, which then helps them with, you know, with family planning and the stress of getting, you know, their kids from here to there. They know that on Tuesday night, they, you know, they're working at the fire station from 6 to midnight or whatever it is, and they get to schedule the time that they're giving to the community versus carrying a pager and just being on beck and call for whenever the pager goes off, you have to come in, you know, and that doesn't it's not very convenient And I know there are a lot of firefighters out there who, you know, are work under that system, and you know that it's terribly challenging that you're driving your kids to a school event or a birthday party, and all of a sudden you get a fire call, and you know, you're worried that you need to go because somebody else might not show up, and you forgo doing something, you know, that might have been very important to you because of your dedication to the department. So look at creating some kind of incentives, of which time management of volunteers is certainly a big incentive that will help go a long way, I think, in helping in retention of firefighters. Consider part-time employees to work shifts, you know, people that are actually on the payroll as part-time people versus, you know, he said he doesn't want to become a full-time department. Well, you don't have to become a full-time department, but you could have some part-time people that that you pay to work the hours that you most struggle to get people to work. And I would assume that would be Monday through Friday during the daytime, because that's when most volunteers are at work at their full-time jobs. So maybe you have to hire some salaried part-time people to work weekdays when your staffing is, you know, at its lowest level. I think you could consider some mutual aid or automatic aid agreements with neighboring communities. Chances are, if they're having trouble recruiting and retaining volunteers, so is the neighboring community. So convene a summit of the chiefs and officers of the communities that you surround and say, you know, we're having this problem. Are you having this problem? Yeah, we're having this problem. Well, what can all of us do together to try to put our heads together to come up with some solution to this problem? You know, if you're having it and I'm having it, is there a way for us to share personnel or share resources or jointly train or something that will lighten the load on all of our departments? And you know, until you convene those people and get those creative juices flowing, you don't know what kind of good ideas will come from that. Consider the potential of having other employees from your town serve as volunteer firefighters. You know, approach the Public Works Department and the Parks and Recreation Department and see if you know, they have people who would be willing to volunteer, and see if they'd be willing to let them come to fire calls while they're working their full-time job. If they're able to do that, you know, given their workload, they might be able to, on occasion, leave their work post and answer a fire call. So consider other employees of the town as potential workers. And also, I think that if the problem is severe enough among several fire departments, that I think they shouldn't rule out the possibility of consolidating their fire department with another department, joining a couple of departments together and making one regional fire district that serves a larger area and gives you more people to draw from to serve as your members. And I know it comes back to the pride thing of, well, you know, we're a proud department with a long heritage. Well, if times have changed enough where you can't service your community with the volunteers that you're attracting, then it's time to look for creative solutions. And a consolidation or a joining of departments into a district is one way to give you more members to draw from. And lastly, I think that they could consider getting the services of a recruiter or a marketer, and that's something you could pay for, or maybe even something you could get on pro bono or free or donated as service, is to have someone come in and help you make a marketing plan or a recruitment plan to try to get new members. You might be suffering from not being able to recruit members because you just don't have a good polished marketing plan. You know, there's people who make a living at selling products every day on television and newspapers and billboards, you know, and there's a lot of science that goes into how those people do that. Tap into somebody who has that expertise and say, help us come up with a way to sell our fire department to prospective firefighters, and you might be surprised with some of the ideas they come up with on ways to do that that you've never given any thought to. So don't rule out the opportunity there to talk to people who recruit regularly, either in industry or military recruiter that you might have, or somebody who has a marketing expertise. But in summary for this chief, definitely not dealing with a local problem. It is a national problem, and I wish you a lot of success in getting your city manager educated. Sorry to hear that he's trying to kill the messenger, but don't let that discourage you. Just use that as a springboard to give you energy to make sure that you're educating him or her in the right way. And you do that with data and statistics and showing them that the problem is extending beyond your community.
Okay, Rich, well, thank you. It definitely is a national problem in our news feeds for firehouse.com. We probably see on average of 3 to 4 articles a day just from the feeds, not from anything that people are sending in relating to the same issue from, you know, the Pacific Northwest down to the Southeast, New York, where I'm originally from, to both communities. You know, they're always going to have a problem, you know, getting additional volunteers. So those are some surefire ways to help bolster the ranks. Again, like earlier you said too, those community events, it's a great place to not only, be on a standby or a public relations event, but to try and attract members. So thank you,
Pete,
for that.
Is there a way on the podcast, at the bottom of the podcast, that you could put a link to? I know you had provided me recently with some articles on firefighter recruitment that was very helpful for me and some challenges that I'm facing. Would be a way to put the link to some of those articles at the bottom of the podcast? So if there are people out there saying, you know, I could benefit from having some articles that show this as a bigger problem, maybe we could put a link to some of them on the bottom of the webcast for our listeners.
Yeah, that's not a problem. We'll go ahead and get that taken care of. So we'll have plenty of links at the bottom of this month's podcast player page. So make sure you check those out just to kind of get a real overall view of what's going on. If we put up each and every one, it would take days upon days for folks to go through it. So, but you can always use the Google search bar on the top of firehouse.com to type in the different information you're looking for and come up with some results.
Okay, and if any of the listeners, if there's any way that I can help them in the challenges of recruitment and retention, go ahead and contact me through podcast@firehouse.com, and Pete will get the message on to me, and I'll see if there's something that I can do to help you out in educating your city officials on the challenges that you're having, or to even just be a person who will brainstorm with you on some potential solutions.
All right, Rich, well, thank you. We will see you at Firehouse Expo coming up here in a couple of weeks down in Baltimore, and then again at Fire Rescue International in Denver in August. If you do have any questions for Chief Gassaway for this podcast, please do drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com, and we'll see everybody again next month here on the Leaders Toolbox.
Okay, thanks to firehouse.com, and thanks to the listeners.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.